Penguin Random House Audio presents The Ladies Rewrite the Rules by Suzanne Alain, read for you by Elizabeth Nolden. In memory of my mother, a true lady, and in gratitude to my father, the gentleman who loved her. 1.
You have a caller, madam, Godfrey said, in a tone of voice that implied Diana was at fault for this circumstance. Diana looked up from her needlework in surprise, as it was past visiting hours and so close to dinner that it could only be assumed whoever was calling was angling for an invitation. She turned to look at her companion in confusion and inquiry, but companion was an exaggerated description of Mildred, her late husband's sister, who was asleep on the sofa. Mildred was the one thing Diana's wealthy husband had left to her upon his death that she could have happily done without.
Mildred, Diana said loudly.
Mildred's head snapped up.
I beg your pardon, but I slept poorly last night. The moon was waxing, or waning. I always get the terms confused.
She blinked a few times before shaking her head.
Whichever it was, it had quite an effect on the river, and it was roaring ferociously. But I'm sure you heard it yourself.
I enjoy the sound of the river, Diana said.
Yes, I know, Mildred said. Your constitution is unnaturally robust for a widow.
She looked reproachfully at Diana, as she often did, as if she knew Diana didn't mourn Mr. Boyle's death sufficiently. Diana found herself almost pleased at the news of an intrusion that she'd previously found annoying, as it gave her an excuse to change the subject.
We have a caller, Mildred. A caller? At this late hour?
Mildred turned to Godfrey, who had stood watching this byplay and was now directing his disgruntled look at her.
Who is it, Godfrey?
Ignoring Mildred, Godfrey walked over to his mistress, presenting her with the card he held.
Mr. Raymond Price, Diana read aloud. Never heard of him. Send him away, Mildred said.
Diana had considered doing exactly that, as she had grown so unused to going about in society since her husband's death. Not that she had been what one would call gregarious before that, and she was anxious at the thought of entertaining a perfect stranger. Still, she was the mistress of Whitley House, little though Mildred might like it, and she had very few opportunities to exert her authority. So she nervously patted her hair and her dress, took a deep breath, and told Godfrey, I am at home. Mildred looked at her as if she had gone mad, but said nothing in reply, though she made a clicking sound that signified her disapproval and caused Diana to feel even more pleased with her small act of rebellion. Godfrey sighed, as if wondering how he'd sunk to serving such a troublesome pair of females, but left to do Diana's bidding. She spent the time while he was gone considering whether it was worth her while to look for a new butler, or if she should continue to employ her late husband's choice. It seemed cruel to reward Godfrey for his many years of service by giving him the sack, but neither did she think that the lady of the house should be intimidated by her own staff. And Diana had always been made to feel as if Godfrey were doing her a favour when he performed even the simplest of his duties. Her musings were cut short by the entrance into the drawing room of their mysterious caller. Even though Diana had been married for 5 very long years and widowed for more than one, she had just recently turned 25. However, Mr. Price looked even younger than she was, though Diana might have been misled by the fact that his ears were slightly oversized and gave him the appearance of a child who had not yet grown into them. Or it could have been that she had grown so accustomed to Mr. Boyle, who had been 58 years old when he died, that a man of her own age appeared infantile in comparison. But it was not only Mr. Price's appearance, but also his demeanour that gave the impression of a shy young boy as he entered the room as if he was afraid of them, darting a quick nervous glance at Mildred before performing a jerky bow. Diana and Mildred rose at his entrance and bobbed their heads in response to his bow, before Diana gave him permission to sit. His reaction to her command was also very bizarre, as he looked at Diana in surprise, which quickly transformed into delight. "You are Mrs. Boyle?" he asked, smiling tentatively at Diana and looking her up and down. A little too obviously, Diana felt. Mildred must have shared Diana's opinion as she cleared her throat angrily. "I am," Diana replied. "Allow me to present you to my sister-in-law, Miss Boyle." Mr. Price looked as if he'd just been informed he won a lottery. "Miss Boyle, a pleasure," he said, and he smiled so happily at her that Mildred's own expression lightened reflexively. They all sat in silence while Mr. Price stared at Diana, a grin on his face, and Diana wondered if she was not as socially inept as she had heretofore thought herself, because she could never imagine behaving as awkwardly as he was. And while she believed she presented a neat and pleasant appearance, she did not think her charm so great as to cause him to be stricken mute at the sight of her. Diana knew he was most likely comparing her to her older, formidably plain sister-in-law, and so the comparison would inevitably be in her favour. However, Diana was doing herself an injustice. Having been married at 18 to a man 35 years her senior, she had never had a suitor, and so did not realise how attractive she was. Her silky black hair had fallen out of its confines and was in wisps around her face, framing a countenance that was sweet rather than striking. Shy by nature, she frequently cast her eyes downward, so that when she did meet a person's gaze, one was struck by the beauty of her large amber-coloured eyes with their long, dark eyelashes. Certainly, Mr. Price had noticed that his hostess was a very lovely young woman. The silence was growing more and more awkward, their guest apparently having forgotten that he should offer a reason for his call, and so Mildred finally prodded him to do so.
"I do not believe we've previously made your acquaintance," she said, her expression having hardened again into its usual rigid lines.
"No, not exactly," Mr. Price said. As Diana and Mildred continued staring at him in silent inquiry, he must have finally become conscious of the strained atmosphere, because he stopped grinning and said to Diana, "That is, I am acquainted with a distant relation of your late husband's, and since I was in the vicinity..."
"A relation of mine? Who, pray tell?"
Mildred interrupted him to ask. Mr. Price turned to her, a disconcerted expression on his face, as if it had just occurred to him that a relation of Mr. Boyle's would also be related to Mr. Boyle's sister. "Mr. Cartwright," he finally said, before correcting himself. "That is, Mr. Carter. Or perhaps it was Carnes? Started with a car sound, at any rate. It was a brief acquaintance," he mumbled sheepishly, before looking again at Diana, fear writ large in his brown eyes. Mildred took a deep breath, her bosom expanding impressively, and Diana closed her eyes, as she had begun to pity poor Mr. Price, perhaps because of his youthful appearance and his obvious inability to lie. Before the volcano could erupt, however, they were again interrupted by Godfrey.
"Lord Jerome Vincent," he announced,
and Mr. Price, who had at first seemed to view the butler's appearance in the nature of a deus ex machina, saw who was with him and frowned.
"Good afternoon, Mrs. Boyle," Lord Jerome said, approaching Mildred with a charming smile, though it faltered just a bit when he saw her.
"I am Mrs. Boyle," Diana said, wondering what in the world was happening. Lord Jerome turned to Diana, and though his countenance gave little away, Diana thought she detected a hint of relief in his sardonic gaze.
"I see," he said,
and somehow the way he drew out those two words, along with the look that accompanied them, made them seem very suggestive indeed. Mr. Price pokered up even more at this interchange and said to Lord Jerome,
"I might have expected to find you here."
"And why was that?" Lord Jerome asked. Diana and Mildred looked at Mr. Price inquiringly as well. Mr. Price flushed a dark red.
"No reason," he finally said, and Mildred rolled her eyes and said something under her breath, though the words, "halfwit," could be faintly heard.
Somehow, the two gentlemen ended up staying for dinner,
though Diana wasn't sure how.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?